Has there ever been a theme song so fitting as that for this Soccer Central Thursday podcast, the bad one, the podcast? I'm James Sharman, joined by Thomas Dobby. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm just scratching my leg.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Dunlop's not here.
So I know. It's very good.
This will be like the better podcast.
Fair enough. Yeah. John Molinaro is here, though, standing in for Dunlop, rocking his, what was that, vintage 2003, 2004
Invincibles.
Arsenal
yeah. shirt. Invincibles, Robert Perez.
Do you own many soccer shirts, Jamie?
It's funny you asked that. I did. I used to have like about 30 from about, you know, teams from all over the world. And then...
Like Dunlop does.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. He supports every one of them, though.
And then I did like a great kind of like autumn purge of my place.
Oh, yeah.
And so most of them didn't make the cut.
Wow, you threw out jerseys.
Donated them.
Donated to the homeless?
Good for you.
Yeah. So to the homeless.
Well, to Goodwill or whatever it was.
So there's probably some guy in the street right now wearing a Borussia Mönchengladbach shirt.
He's probably wearing my Fiorentina Gabriel Batistuta jersey.
Oh, he couldn't lose the Batistuta one.
Well, it was too small.
Was it? Oh, yeah. It was a few years old, was it?
Yes, it was. It's been a while.
I've got quite a few shirts as well at home. I never wear them though.
Yeah.
I always find that they just don't fit me very well.
I'm a hoarder. I don't really throw things out. I should do that purge and just give some stuff away, but. Just don't. Just
I highly recommend it. It was like I just did this one
feels
great
good,
purge.
Eh?
It felt so good.
Well, the girlfriend's moving in about 3 weeks, so
there'll be some purging. And then you'll purge the girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's just take it easy.
But it's me or your shirts, Thomas. Yeah, see you later.
Yes.
Bye bye. Yeah. Not gonna miss you. Would miss that 1976 Sheffield United shirt, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Darren Pang on the back, or whatever the hell it is.
Darren Pang. Yes, Darren Pang played for Sheffield United, yes.
Yeah.
Quite the athlete.
And the Rangers.
Came to mind for some reason.
What? All right.
I couldn't think of any Blades players in the 70s for some strange reason.
All right, yeah. Tony Curry.
Yeah. Legend. I like Curry.
Good.
Love Curry.
I bet you do.
Mm-hmm.
Hungry? Yeah, hungry?
Very hungry.
All right, good.
It's part of the reason why my soccer shirts don't fit me very well. Because I enjoy my curry too much.
There you go.
All right, well, listen, midweek football this week, eh? I enjoyed that. Not that they're great games per se, but I just love the Tuesday, Wednesday full skids.
Really good.
It's just fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Wednesday had a bunch of good games.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Sportsnet got shafted and had the Tuesday games. But
yeah, still.
Wednesday was just full of beauties.
Mm-hmm. Manchester United, they beat Stoke. They've now... won 4 straight games. They're into the top 4. J-Mo, have they turned the corner?
Kind of. I mean, you think about it, like everything that they've been through this year with all the injuries and kind of like their roster, for them to be in 4th, it's pretty incredible. I still think it's great that they're in 4th, but it's despite of their deficiencies, right? There's still work to do here, and there's still sort of things that they have to address in, you know, the January transfer window, particularly at the back end. So I'll be interested to see if this lasts. But, you know, if you're a United fan, not that you're happy with them only being in 4th, but I think you'd have to be happy with them being in 4th in terms of what's kind of happened so far.
Yeah, and in a season where outside of Chelsea and Manchester City, the other big boys are all... have been, you know, very slow out of the gate.
Yeah.
The Arsenal, the Liverpool, even Spurs, Everton. There's an opportunity for Manchester United still to, you know, finish in that top 4, which is the goal. And, you know, it's early enough where if there are failings above them that they still could get their noses back into that race. Have they, you know...
10 points.
Have they blown
us
away
now,
the last 4 games? I mean... The run started against Crystal Palace 1-0. It was a bit of a sleeper. The win at Arsenal was nice and impressive in terms of getting the 3 points, and they played on the counter, but they weren't great in that game. The one against Hull on the weekend, they were really good, but Hull have been dreadful. And then on Tuesday against Stoke, I mean, it took a miracle clearance at the end to preserve it. All of a sudden, if they draw that game 2-2, we're talking about, oh, Man United, you know, draw points at home again. Back in the day, this would have been easy. But there's just nothing easy in the Premier League these days. So 4 wins in a row, no matter who you are, is a good start. And they go to Southampton on Monday.
That's a fascinating game.
It's a fascinating game because Southampton are going the opposite way, as we expected them to a bit. I mean, the teams that they've now started playing are better. We expected them to drop points. They still were pretty good at Arsenal this week. Ultimately lost it late. it's a big test now. If Man United can go to Southampton and win, and then they host Liverpool, then we really see if we can say that this team's back. But with all the injuries, like you mentioned, JMO, the fact that they're still getting all these points and racking them up, it's a good start. It's a good start.
But it is, I think, like I said, just an example of just how poor the league is this year.
It's
outside of Chelsea and probably Man City, who seem to have found their form now as well. You know, those big boys are not playing like big boys at all. Now, I still think by May, Southampton won't be there. I think you're going to see Arsenal in there, maybe with Man United. Maybe Spurs find something, but I can't see that happening. Liverpool have too many issues right now. So I really wouldn't surprise me at all if I saw a Man U, Arsenal, City, Chelsea top four. But Southampton have been a great story so far. And it's a tough schedule, man. They've had an easy one up until now. And I wouldn't say they failed the test because they played pretty well in these games
the
last couple of weeks. But they are dropping points.
Yeah, we've seen this coming.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't criticize them for that. I mean, they're not. No one picked them as a top four team.
No.
Some people picked them to go straight down this year. So regardless, it's been a successful season.
Yep.
But a lot can go horribly wrong in the second half of the season, as we see every single year. So,
yeah, I mean, we've seen a few times, right? Was it Hull that had that huge start that one year under Phil Brown?
Yeah. Phil Brown, yeah.
There was a couple other teams as
well. There was one team that surprises.
Right
now there's more teams
right up there
year.
And they come back. I think Southampton have more staying power. I think realistically for them, a 7th, 8th place finish would be
outstanding.
Tremendous.
And outstanding, yeah.
Could very well happen. But I think we're starting to see that the teams that we expect to be there start rising. And I mean, Southampton, West Ham, Swansea still kind of upsetting the apple cart a little bit up there. But even the teams that are struggling, like Everton and Spurs and Liverpool, you still see them picking up those points and creeping up and still getting into that spot where they're going to be right in that race for those European places. So I think it's kind of the table starting to level out. And by the time we get to the run-in, we will see, you know, the main 7 or 8 teams in the top 7 or 8 places as usual.
And Man City have hit the switch, it looks like.
Ever
since that Bayern Munich match when they got the result. And they weren't great in that match, but Aguero was. But they've been very good since then. I think it's 12 goals in the last 4 games. Obviously win them all. Beat Sunderland 4-1 last time out. Playing Everton this weekend, which should be a really good game, actually. A big test for Everton, certainly.
But, on Sportsnet.
Yeah, on Sportsnet.
That's a great game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. But yeah, listen, Sergio Aguero, we've said it before that if he could just stay healthy, it'd be brilliant. It's 30 goals now in his last 33 games for Man City in the league. That's a better rate than Thierry Henry at this point in his career.
Yeah.
It's better than Suarez last year.
I mean, I know we don't do it, but if you take it from another sport, another term, I mean, Sergio Aguero is the most valuable player to his team in the Premier League right now.
Sanchez.
Is he not? I mean,
could be up there too.
Mm, but without Aguero's goals right now, he's just saving them.
Good little stat. Without Aguero's goals, there'd be, where is it here? I believe it's 8th. Without goals and assists, they'd be 8th right now.
Wow.
Arsenal would be 14th without Sanchez's goals and assists. Think about that. Chelsea without Costa's goals and assists, 1st.
Interesting.
I love that stat.
I still think Aguero is probably, you know, the most influential player in the league. And certainly, I would agree with Tom. I don't think there's a player who's more important to his side than Aguero. And it'll be interesting to see. I think Man City is, you talked about it, slowly coming into form now. And I think I was reading, it's either 4 or 5 of their 6 games in December are against teams in the lower half of the table. And majority of them are 15th or lower.
Yeah, so Leicester, Palace, West Brom, Burnley all coming up after Everton. So
those are, after the Everton game, I would think that's 12 points out of 12. So if they can kind of get to the Christmas break, having swept those games and having taken something for Everton, then, you know, I think that it'll certainly put more pressure on Chelsea.
Of course, they're in Rome on Wednesday.
All of a sudden, I mean, we talked 2 weeks ago and we said that, you know, they have this glimmer, still a chance to get through the group because they're playing understrength Bayern side, somehow struggled against 10 men forever and then pulled it out. But all of a sudden now, it's not such a crazy thing that they could go to Rome and get the result that they need. I mean, I don't think that we'd put it past them at this point because they're starting to play well. So that game on Wednesday is
monumental, you know, game.
Huge.
It really is.
I mean, it is for their psychological impact on that team and just on the club going forward. I mean, does Pellegrini survive the season if they don't get through this? That is the game. And like you mentioned, Jamie, with the teams coming up after that, you just think if they can pull that off, the momentum going in, this might be an amazing December for them. And a season that looked going off the rails to start could all of a sudden be right back on them. And once you get in that last 16, who knows who you can draw. And it could be, you know, right in around a couple points back at the new year. And all of a sudden, it's a salvageable season.
Would have, could have, should have. Well, now we're just assuming they're going to win the next four league games through Roma. So,
that's what we do. We live in the moment.
If Liverpool win every single game to now and the end of the season, they could be in contention.
Well, that's what we do. We live week to week. We have to. We do a podcast week to week. Yeah, we have to live in the moment.
I know, but they are certainly running into form at the right time. And that's without David Silva, which is surprising because he is their best player, in my opinion, outside Aguero. And he was their best player this season up until his injury. And he's been out, and so they found their form. But you can't drop David Silva when he returns, which could be this weekend or against Roma as well. Company's out as well. So they're facing some adversity as well right now. But they're getting the job done. I mentioned Liverpool. They beat Leicester 3-1. Steven Gerrard's 114th. goal in the Premier League. Sixth of all time. It's pretty impressive there.
Yeah.
I think he overtook Ian Wright, believe it or not, which is no small feat. He scored more goals than any Englishman in 2014.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my reaction as well.
How many penalties, but still.
Regardless, he's got, I think, just two from open play in the last 19 goals he scored. So they're mainly from the spot.
More in 2014 than any Englishman.
Yeah.
More than Daniel Sturridge.
More than Wayne Rooney. Doesn't that sound weird to you?
Rooney, I'm not shocked because his form was pretty poor. He hasn't really been scoring much for Man United. But more than Sturridge in 2014, Sturridge had a massive second half to last year. I don't know if that's...
I think it may have been Opta Joe that said that. It may have been. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look on the interweb here.
I'm going to try. I mean...
But still, would you re-sign him? I know there's a lot of speculation about his future right now and what should his role be with this team.
I wouldn't sign him long term.
No,
I think it's it's a 1 or 2 year deal.
It's a Lampard
type
situation at Chelsea last 2 years, right?
But I think it has to be with the understanding, and you have got to make this clear to Gerrard that his role is going to be somewhat diminished, right? And I don't know how willing he would be to accept that with Liverpool. You know, maybe he loves the club so much that he realizes that he's not the player that he once was and that by playing every day, it would diminish Liverpool's sort of staying power. So maybe he would accept that, but maybe he's too proud and just says, no, screw it. I'm a top-level player. I should be playing every day. I don't think he should be playing every day, to be perfectly honest.
No.
So, but if he's all right with taking a diminished role and Liverpool has the sort of courage to say that to him and say, look, we're going to keep you around because we still think you're going to help us, but it's not going to be like what it once was, then yeah, I'm all for re-signing him.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Rodgers' comments after the game were interesting. I feel for Rodgers because he said it really pointedly, and I thought that it was really well put. He just said, if I play him every game, if I play Gerrard and other guys every game, I'm going to get flack for tiring them out. And if I don't play him, then I get flack for why aren't you playing him? He's like, I really can't win. And it's totally true. I mean,
absolutely.
Fans are going to complain no matter what, and especially when your club's struggling. You see that in every single walk of life. It's so much easier to explain anything you're doing when it's successful.
Sure.
When it's not, everything gets questioned. And with Liverpool struggling, Rodgers is sitting there and holding his hand.
What
I rested Gerrard, big deal,
yeah.
Right? But you're resting Steven Gerrard, and how can you do that? And you're basically blaming him and sitting him down. And then he scores midweek, and Rodgers is like, well, you know, I wanted to save him for this game. That's a lot of fixtures. He plays a lot. And it makes sense. I mean, you really have to, you know, have some sympathy for a guy like Rodgers because you can't win in the media.
I get the impression, though, that he feels that pressure as well. You know, Ferguson or, you know, other managers, Mourinho, I honestly don't think they give a damn what's written or said. But I think we're seeing a little bit of Rodgers' inexperience this year that he seems to be affected by it. You see his press conferences, you know, and his emotion is very different depending on the performance as opposed to just being, you know, down the middle straight. So I wonder if that's a learning experience for him. But it's interesting to be playing Gerrard further up the field the last couple of games. No more in that holding role. And defensively, they've been much better the last couple of games, despite Simone Mignolet's comical errors, shall we say, back. What's happened to him? He was never a great goalkeeper, but he's not this bad.
He's very poor now. I thought it was a great move for them when he came over. And it really is confidence, right? And that's what it is with a keeper. An article from Monday, top scorers in 2014 in the Premier League. Daniel Sturridge and Wayne Rooney both in 13. I don't see Gerrard on the list for Englishmen. Wilfred Bonny, the leading scorer in the Premier League in 2014 with 18.
Yeah, really.
But that Aguero was on 16.
Now,
so Aguero might have.
Is that just Premier League or is that?
This overall? Is Premier League.
So I wonder
yeah.
if it so. Includes cups.
Although that much
they were out
of
the
cup
early last year. I don't know where that came from.
I think you made that up.
Yeah,
I made
yeah,
up.
Totally.
Steven
yeah.
Gerrard is more blonde at all.
Yeah, we'll just take
Cristiano Ronaldo and Leo Messi. Surprised me too
combined,
when I saw that stat.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot about those six blonde at he won. Man, that's years ago. I know, but still. Boy, what a player he was when he was winning those championships and those gongs. Arsenal beat Southampton, as mentioned earlier. Arsene Wenger says, we will win the title with this group. Heard that before, J-Mo.
Yeah, I like his confidence, misplaced as it is.
Delusion or confidence?
Yeah, totally delusional. I do think they are certainly playing better and they have a lot more confidence. And I think Sanchez is, it's interesting when he first came and he was kind of struggling at the start, everyone was saying, oh, well, who's this South American guy? He's not going to adapt to life in the Premier League. But I think he's starting to show why they spent so big on him. And I think he's going to be, you know, one of the major breakout stars this year. Arsenal's not a top. They're not a title contender.
Even when everyone gets back healthy, with Sanchez, Ozil, and Giroud playing really well alongside Welbeck, that attack is formidable.
It is, but I still think they lack physical edge to them, and I think they're just lacking grit to them. I
heard that before.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, how long?
But it's true.
How long have we been talking about it? Like
five,
forever.
6 years.
Right.
The same issues come up. I mean. This team it needs that steely midfielder, and the injuries. This team is cursed. I mean, this happens every season.
That's
right?
Wilshere again.
You got guys like Theo Walcott and Wilshere and Oxlade-Chamberlain that are just China dolls, and every season they're out for extended. Ramsey out for extended periods. You can't have that. There's a reason that those Manchester United teams for years were so consistent because they had the same players that were. The models of consistency and players that were there for you week in, week out
were durable.
For years and durable. And
right.
I'm not blaming these players for it. It happens, right? It's the Brett Laurie syndrome, to take a baseball term that I know J-Mo loves.
Mm-hmm.
These
he's
guys,
a, he's a third baseman for the Jays.
Yeah, he was.
All right.
No, I mean, it's a huge thing, now. Right? How long does Wenger last? Because Arsenal, every time they win, it just
did you see the banner in the stands? This past week?
I didn't.
First time I've seen it. There's a banner. It's a nice banner. It says, Arsene Wenger, thank you for the wonderful memories.
Oh,
it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Never seen that before. So there won't be hatred towards Wenger in the stands because he's done so much. But I think the fans are.
Away.
Although I've got some tweets from some fans saying we still believe in Wenger. Do you believe in him, J-Mo? You're a fan. You're wearing a freaking Perez shirt for running out loud.
I think it's time to move on, to be honest, because I think it's become just about, we got to finish top four just so we're in the Champions League. And there's no sort of real talk about.
The goals aren't there, are they?
Yeah, There's no sense of ambition. There's just, I think, a sense of complacency that's set in. And I think, you know, Tom raised an interesting point about, you know, this team isn't durable enough and they just seem to be so injury prone. And I respect that the fact that Arsene has got all these like wonderful attacking players, but there's got to be more balance, right? There's got to be more sort of grafters and fighters in there. And I think he's just top heavy with guys like, you know, Giroud and Wilshere and so many others. I think he needs some real battlers in there just to sort of balance it out a little bit more.
Have you quit Wilshere?
Sorry?
Have you quit Wilshere now? Done? Like, see, can't trust you. You're a China doll.
No.
The ankle's made of glass.
No.
No, you should.
You think so?
Done.
Yeah.
Bored of him. He's 22, but I don't care. As he gets like a complete ankle replacement and they get some titanium bone in there, they keep doing it. He's a target, right? He's a target. They go for it. You see it.
I still think he's young enough that I wouldn't sort of toss him into the waste bin just yet. I think his career can be salvaged.
So a stat that since 2011, no player in world football scored more goals than Jack Wilshere.
I wish that were true.
I think it's the same source as I got the Steven Gerrard from.
Charms, your tweet just blowing up. We got tons of questions.
Really?
On
do
here.
We really?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is impressive because I sent this tweet out literally about a minute before.
Yeah. It's the usual suspects. It's our guys. You know, Bob Sacamano, Ginger TFC, Tiger Sammy. So we're talking about Wenger. He says Wenger or Rodgers, who's under more pressure? Who will go first? That's our boy Tiger Sammy.
Oh, Tiger Sammy.
He's a Rotherham fan.
Rotherham fan, isn't
he?
Yeah. Cool. Wenger or Rodgers, who's under more pressure?
I think it goes with our conversation. It is Wenger. I think Rodgers really does have a huge leash. And I think we've seen it this year. I don't think he's under pressure. I think maybe not so much a portion of the fan base, but I think ownership and I think the people that make the decisions there understand that last year was a complete, I don't know if it's a fluke, but everything kind of went right. And when you have Suarez having the season he had combined with Sturridge, when you take out those two guys from the lineup this season, Sturridge has barely played, it's going to reflect in the team. And it papered over a lot of different holes and different issues with that team last season. They're coming to the front now. I think Wenger, it's more, you know, systematic, and we don't like that this is continuing to go this way. So I think that Wenger will be gone before Rodgers is gone.
But I wonder if he's just so entrenched there now. Do you know what I mean? And the fact
he picks and when he wants to go.
Yeah, maybe. And if he does get a top four finish and they get another shot at the Champions League next year.
Wasn't there more pressure last year before they won the FA Cup?
Right,
they got a trophy, right?
Yeah.
And he was being, this time last year, actually this time last year, they're playing really well and they're in first place. Don't forget, last year, no team spent more time in first place than Arsenal, right? And he's been crushed, no trophies since 2005. Well, he got a trophy. And it's been a poor start to this season, we know that. But, as you mentioned, Tom, the injuries have been obscene.
Yeah.
I just don't think there is, I don't know. I'm with you. I know the weaknesses and what they need. And I think Wenger is probably past his sell-by date. He's so bloody stubborn. And he won't move on. But hopefully that stubbornness doesn't relate to tenure at the club. Maybe it's time him to say, I'm going to leave. I can't see the club firing him.
That's ever. What I mean. I think he's just so entrenched there and that he's just so such an iconic figure that I think the club is going to have a real hard time sort of pushing him out. I think it's going to have to be on his own terms that he's going to have to step out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Rodgers, he's under pressure, but yeah, I'm with you. I think he's got the big picture there. He's had a tough week aside from the wins. Balotelli's been an idiot once again. Boy, Mario Balotelli, you know, now he's being accused of being an anti-Semite. God, he's just
never.
He's
ends.
Not an anti-Semite. He's just stupid.
Stupid.
He's naive.
Idiotic.
Why do you open yourself up? We've all been waiting for this to happen, right? All year. What's Balotelli going to do? What stupidity will he embrace? And well, here we are. He'll get a fine for this, at least, I think. But it's the last thing he needs and this team needs right now. It's just, man, if there's any guy that should be banned from any kind of social media, it's him. Joke. Real joke.
Yeah.
Other questions here. We're getting here. One player, Chris Julian, see the J14 in Twitter. One player that has caught your eye this season that wasn't on your radar.
They're all on our radar because we're so into
our preseason research.
I'm just thinking from this week, actually, I was really impressed with Fraser Forster. I think that he's got a great shot to be England number one and soon. He was fantastic in that game against Arsenal. I mean, he kept Southampton in
a big time. He's a big boy, isn't he?
Big boy, made some great saves. And I think he's been a real linchpin to that team and why they've been so strong defensively.
Arta Buric was no problem last year for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Well, it wasn't bad, though, by any stretch. But this guy's just walked into that team.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. I mean, I think that he's now, you know, number two knocking on the door to be number one for England. And I heard a stat during the game. He kept 100 clean sheets for Celtic. Like, I know they're playing probably absolute.
And Henrik Larsson scored like 79 goals one season.
Yeah, but okay, I'll say Fraser Forster.
That's a good one.
Good. You?
I mentioned before Dusan Tadic at Southampton. Yeah. Didn't know much about him or anything about him, to be honest with you. He's been brilliant. In Southampton, all these Pelé. I mean, who'd have thought, right?
Yeah.
He would have rebounded. He's a late bloomer, right?
Definitely.
Very, very good. I mean, so many players. How about West Ham right now? Okay, here's one for you. Stuart Downing. Not under the radar. We know who Stuart Downing is, but who would have seen him fitting into that new role, you know, in the number 10 spot, essentially, in the hole, and playing really, really well.
Very good. I thought they might go down this year, West Ham, so they've been impressive.
I don't think he's been flying under the radar because everyone knew about him, but I've certainly been really impressed this year with Azpilicueta. I think he's just...
He's been great,
hasn't
he?
I think he's been great and really established himself as one of the best fullbacks in the Premier League, if not in Europe.
So. And the thing with Chelsea, too, is that we keep talking about, oh, they have so much depth and whatever, but the consistency of their back four has been massive. And even...
It's team selection consistency, right? We know who's playing each
other. Their 11 is very... I mean, up front, obviously, Costa being hurt, but slot in Drogba, no problem. I mean, that team, just the way that they keep on motoring with the guys now and the back four, again, Azpilicueta has been great, and Cahill and Terry as well, and Ivanovic. It's just, it's really, really solid, and that obviously is the stepping stone for what they've done so far.
The partnership with Fabregas and
Matic.
Matic has been, I think, key to that.
Well, it'll be interesting this weekend because Matic is suspended.
Was
so
he really?
He went, Fab won't have his boy beside him, so to back him up for those.
Interesting.
He got, five yellow cards.
And I think Cahill is out too.
Well, he got taken off at halftime with a head injury, but I think he's okay.
Is he going to be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moussa Sissoko has been great for Newcastle. There's one for him. He's been there for a couple of years, but he's really stood out this year.
Yeah.
And listen, Newcastle's been a really good story, isn't it? Who'd have thought?
And they play this weekend, Chelsea at Newcastle, early kickoff Saturday. Mm-hmm. So
why not? I'll be here. I'll be working at 7:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
Only 11 beers for me on Friday.
Take it easy.
A
bit
early. Yep.
Easy.
Look at some more tweets here. Ooh, there's tons coming in here. Look at this. I love our listeners.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
It's not what you said out there.
I know. Let's be honest. They're all scumbags. But no, you're not. Not all of you. Some of you are. Well, let's move on, shall we? Maybe get some more Premier League later in the show. But this weekend's the MLS Cup final. Landon Donovan's last match. Jamie, you've been following MLS since its inception.
Yep.
Your thoughts on Landy Cakes?
Well, I think he's, you know, this is hardly an original thought, but he's, you know, the greatest American player that they've ever produced. And it's interesting you asked me that question because I just actually wrote a column today about him that just went up on sportsnet.ca, which is a selfless plug. But for me, what's kind of impressed me more about him was the sort of openness with which he talked about his struggle with depression and how we kind of raised the issue of mental illness in sport. Sport is a very cutthroat industry, and it's, you know, I talked to Ryan Nelson before he was fired of ML, before he was coach, and he described it as an industry of alpha males. And it really is. So the fact that he was so sort of open about it and talked about his struggles and really helped bring the discussion to the public square, that to me is impressive as Landon Donovan did on the field as all-time leading scorer in MLS, greatest American player. I think that's just as important in terms of, you know, raising the awareness of that very important issue. So,
absolutely, yeah. No, a very complex person.
He is, yeah. Donovan. We talked about this, I think, the other day on the Monday podcast about he's not sort of like your typical athlete. He's really a sort of a thoughtful guy and really well-rounded. And
I think he's intelligent is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
As opposed to most idiot footballers.
Well, and he's only 32, too, right?
Yeah, and so and clearly he can still play.
He can still play. And but the fact that, you know, he's got other interests in the world, and what he does on the pitch doesn't define who he is. So
I mean, it's funny, ahead of the final on Sunday, I mean, I'm completely impartial, but I would love to see him go out as a champion.
Yeah. Oh,
he's got to be the neutral's pick, right? LA, it's not easy to pick LA to win much, but... Yeah. You know what? If you're a neutral, you don't really give a damn about either New England or LA. This guy threw US soccer on his shoulders in some pretty lean years.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And the fact that, you know, he wasn't picked by Jurgen for the 2014 World Cup, and that caused a whole bunch of controversy. Yeah. So, it'd certainly be a storybook ending to his career.
Speaking of great personalities, Mr. Nice Guy, Robbie Keane. Got the MVP award, didn't he?
Yeah, you don't like him, right?
Yeah.
I just don't like rude people.
Yeah, he snubbed us, yeah.
So, anyway, 19 goals. Fair enough. Whatever. Move on.
Don't care.
D-Rose leaving TFC as well. Looks of things. Not, you know, he's basically, they haven't picked up his options, so he could come back.
By
Bespachenko this week suggest that he won't be coming
back. I think it's probably, and I wrote about this today too, I think it's better for all parties
to move on.
He'll
get a job somewhere else.
What a glorious return it was.
He'll get a year deal somewhere.
Oh boy.
I would think so. I think there's a club that's probably willing to take a shot at him. He's 36, but he's a young 36. Like, he really keeps himself in shape.
He's in shape, but if you watched him run around the field this past season, he wasn't the same D-Row.
I mean, the amount of time he spends, you know, warming up on the sidelines on BMO Field, I'd be in shape too. I mean, basically runs 80 minutes a game on the sidelines and then gets out there and plays. So throw them with training.
He takes care of himself, though. I mean, he really does.
No, he's a vegan,
right?
Yeah.
So he could still contribute.
I spoke to him about this a while back. Post career, I think he has a very much going to get into the health and wellness business, you know, with his own company. And I think he's
makes sense.
Got a lot to offer there, obviously. But yeah, young 36, but just the vintage D-Row gliding around the field hasn't been there this year. Now, maybe it's because he hasn't played much. I don't know. But
quick sort of anecdote about him. I remember coming back from a flight. Canada was playing somewhere. I can't even remember where they were. But we were on the same, Jared Dobson and I were on the same flight as the players. And there was like a layover before, you know, heading back to Toronto. So everyone was getting their per diem and rushing to get something to eat. And all the players were going to Burger King or whatever. And this guy He was getting like, you know, sort of, you know, steamed vegetables on brown rice and everything. It was just, you know, just the stark contrast between D-Row and, you know, the rest of the team had really kind of struck me.
How do you get that at a bloody airport?
I don't know, but he managed to get that. That's where that's kind of my point. It was somehow, like, so amazing.
It's one of those guys you sit beside and chat to and you just realize what an awful, awful human being you are from a physical standpoint.
Grotesque.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Just, like, hanging off where they shouldn't be hanging off. You know, beer falling out your pores. And this is ridiculous. Physical specimen, like most athletes, really.
I hate all of them. At most, I mean, all
most,
of them.
Yeah, they're all pretty good.
Athletes, yeah, but to be fair, I mean, that is their job, right?
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, I would think so.
I wish that I could get paid to be.
Well, that being said, I know Brian Bubba tells stories about playing against George Best back in the NESL days, and you know, be on the field and you could smell the whiskey coming off his breath.
Yeah, different era.
Shouldn't laugh, really. It's tragic, right?
It's different era.
Different era.
Smoking
that's for sure.
At halftime.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, they talk about it all the time now, but. Even with like hockey training camp, it used to be going into training camp. That was when you got in shape. Yeah. And now it's like, you better come in shape because if you're not, you're in trouble. Like
Gary Roberts has built a post-playing career.
Absolutely. And it only makes sense, right? I mean, as you know, society evolves and as these things happen, the more competitive any leg up you can get and any advantage you can have. I mean, these guys have to be in peak shape all the time. And it takes a lot of hard work, and there's a reason. It takes a certain type of mentality to be
disciplined.
Successful.
That's why I respect professional athletes. They
absolutely.
For all their faults, they're generally pretty disciplined people. You have to be.
You absolutely have to be. And yeah, they go out and sometimes, you know, have fun and do things, but they're humans. They're normal guys. I mean, I don't blame them as long as it's not out of line.
I don't know about you, but if I have a really good workout, like a really good workout, I'm licensed to do what the hell I want that night.
Sure.
I'm going to eat and drink. And do what I want and feel great. Totally. Imagine being a professional athlete, how hard you party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, be amazing.
Oh, of course.
Anyway.
Jealous.
Yeah, so jealous. The expansion draft goes next week, right, in the MLS, JMO?
Next Wednesday. Yeah.
Next Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Now, they can protect 11 players.
11 players.
That's right.
Homegrown players are automatically protected.
Do you expect any surprises from TFC?
No, it will be interesting to see what they do with Defoe. I tend to think that they're going to protect him, even though that there's little chance of New York or Orlando getting him. Yeah, because you got to protect that asset, right? You like
maybe they've already sold him.
Could be, right? It could be too. And,
yeah.
But no, I don't suspect it. It'll be interesting to see what they do with guys like Colin Warner and Dominic Odor, who were Ryan Nelson guys. Now that he's out of the picture, will they sort of leave them unprotected?
And they'll be picked up, you would think, wouldn't you?
I would think so.
I'm sure.
I think Oduro would. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. What time is it here? We should get moving, eh? 5:48.
That's always a sign of a good one, eh? Yeah, we should get
Are we keeping you up, James? Yeah. Like, you got other stuff to do? Or?
I told Tom I had a late night last night. And I'm very tired today. Can't do it anymore.
Adam Jenkins asks, will Wales make it out of the group stage in Euro qualifiers?
What's that?
Adam Jenkins writes, will Wales make it out of the group stage in Euro qualifiers?
Oh, God, I just got to pull up Euro qualifiers.
I don't know.
I don't think
don't
so.
Don't think so.
Let me pull up the, we're over here.
I think they're okay if memory serves me.
Sorry, soccer is so tough to navigate. I'll be
there. I like Wales. They're obviously a far better team than they used to be, but Belgium's still, you know, having had a tough time. They're in fourth place. Israel's been great so far, right? Perfect.
It's top
Wales
two in the group,
second
though.
Place, Cyprus, Belgium, you know, three, and you get a chance at least, right?
Yeah.
Third gets a playoff.
They could. So, I hope so. I want to see Gareth Bale at a big tournament.
It'd be nice to see Wales in there.
Right? Aaron Ramsey, absolutely.
Yeah.
Bosnia's been awful so far, only two points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Greece it gives them every opportunity.
I wish you have Andorra, you know, sneaking up behind you.
Sneaking up, yeah. Only minus 15 goal difference. Yeah. That group is crap, isn't it?
So in answer to your question, we don't know. But
they got a real shot.
We'd like to see them in Belgium. Euro. Imagine seeing all the British teams plus Ireland at Euro.
I plan on going.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Better start thinking about tickets soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Declan Kelly asks, do we think Falcao will ever reach his best at United? Good question.
That
I'm not sure
question.
If he'll reach it anywhere. I mean, his injuries the last year now have been his problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, does he stay at United beyond this season? Like, that could have, like, a lot to do with it, too, whether he's going to reach his best at United. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I doubt he'll be there past this year. I don't really think it fits too well. I think it's kind of, for him, thinking, oh, showcase myself in this. But, He better get fit and pop some goals in soon, because otherwise his value is just kind of decreased. He's a forgotten man there, isn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally under the radar. So, but that all changes if you play and score goals. So lots of time for that.
Mm-hmm. Zekonomics is asking, any idea if KJ is doing his quiz this year?
Dare say not with us.
Yeah. Probably not with us.
Yeah. I'd love to.
Yeah, be a lot of fun. Someone else asked about our quiz. Are we doing a Christmas quiz this year? No, I imagine is the answer. When? It's the time.
We got busy lives, bothered. People.
I'd like to, but...
Maybe you'll do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at the schedule.
And one of us can whip something up. And...
Yeah, I'll be the quiz master because I can't retain any information. I never could, but even worse this year.
All right. Well, maybe we can do something. It won't be nearly as good or thoughtful,
no,
but
no.
Hey,
no.
We'll see.
Because we have far less care in the process than KJ did. That's about it from the questions here. Still, I'm quite impressed. About 20 people tweeted in here. It's nice of them.
Hopefully they all listen.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
If they were listening, they've probably tuned out by now, I'm sure. Blunder Ore finalists came out. Exciting.
No surprises.
Nope. Noya can... It's nice that they can give Noya the participation award.
Sure.
But it's coming down to Messi and Ronaldo, obviously. Nations Cup, by the way, they've actually announced it today. The Nations Cup being... Yep. No friendlies would be worse than there'd be a league table and promotion and relegation in the top tier of European football. So as opposed to having meaningless friendlies, each game will mean something. Mm-hmm. And I read it briefly on UEFA.com and it looks very complicated. Like the idea, but it debuts in 2018. And there'd be a champion awarded every couple of years. But yeah, it looks very complicated. But the idea is great, don't you think? But do you think the teams will really take it seriously? The clubs?
I don't know if they'll take
clubs, the national.
I don't know if they'll necessarily take it seriously, especially in qualifying years. But if it adds any sort of little bit of intrigue and excitement and drama to the to the international friendlies, then I'm all for that.
Well, I sense that the podcast has lost its energy the last 5 minutes or so. It's many my fault. So I think we should call it quits.
Sure.
It's been about 40 minutes or so.
You justify
it. I love it. I was looking at his watch.
It's been 3 hours,
it feels like, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, okay. Listen, we're back this weekend, of course, on Sportsnet across the country. Newcastle Chelsea is the early one. We've got Stoke, we've got Arsenal, City, Everton. Lots coming up this weekend. Check out sportsnet.ca for the full schedule and JMO's shameless plugs. All right, so that was it. Tom, JMO, again, as always, I apologize.
We're sorry.